C1B, 1 and 2.
Number 10B.
So we come to principle. My epitome here is in science, man can only work as God works. Can you see again here the unity of principle and idea, the unity of love and love's idea? Where it says, what principle does, idea does. What principle does, man does. The way principle works, man has to work. It's a terrific high standpoint that we can take. So, again, the opposite would mean that man can do nothing harmonious out of himself. Here now, she doesn't say that the wrong sense of harmony would be that a material man is inharmonious. Now she wants to say man cannot do something harmonious out of himself because he's not the principle. Can you hear the tone of principle, that you lead everything back to principle? If we lead harmony, even harmony, not even this harmony, if we lead harmony back to us, then we haven't brought the idea back to God, and therefore we must see, out of my own, I can do nothing harmonious. Not even harmonious. It is that paragraph, or those paragraphs, with a marginal heading, harmony natural. So she speaks about that harmony is absolutely natural. She says harmony is produced by its principle, harmony is controlled by the principle, harmony abides by its principle. If you hear the tonality, you see in here, Word, Christ, Christianity flowing, that she starts out from the Word, that harmony is produced, from where? From principle. Then principle controls, and is controlled by principle, and therefore everything abides in principle. So, anyone knows those capitalized terms, tone-wise, and are not dependent on the words, and the whole symphony then sounds through that whole thing. And she just takes in, whenever she likes, another category, just to embellish it, take in when she's speaking here about soul as principle, that she just takes in one example, well, it runs through the Word, Christ, Christianity, you know. Just so in between, you just hear, say, a little flute somewhere saying, yes, I'm also here, you know, in this orchestra, you also have the Word and the Christ and Christianity. You have to hear that all. She says that there is a science of harmony, and that science governs the harmony in man. Before it was principle governed harmony, now it's science of principle governs the harmony in man, and man reflects that harmony. So man, now, as a great point, says something very wonderful. Man can do nothing of himself, can only do what he sees the Father doeth. He can only do what the Father doeth. You see, she wouldn't say here now, as we would perhaps have expected in the subtone of principles, to say that man has not the principle and therefore what he ever does is inharmonious. See, in love, you see, in the last column of love, you have some kind of a higher sense of that law running through it. Always much more positive, and says, you see, man is harmonious, but he cannot do anything harmonious out of himself. He can do something harmonious out of the principle. Yeah? Then Mrs. Eddy goes on to the point of life and says, oh no, I epitomized it. I'm sorry that I always say, she says when I give my epitome, it's not quite fair really, but you will see it from the study material. I epitomized it like this, that life demonstrates the immortality of man. The immortality of man. Again, you have the unity that life cannot be separated from life, that life is always expressed as the life of man, as the immortality of man, And then comes the second part. Here again you see that she doesn't say, because mortal man is timely, mortal man ends in death. Again she brings in some kind of positive sense about him and says, he is not subject to decay. She brings in a question of the opposite, like decay, but in a positive way, and says, man cannot decay. He is not subject to decay. I hope I can put that over, that this last column of love, when it comes to the contraposition, that the negative is handled differently than in the first six main subjects. That the negatives are always handled as an impossibility, and therefore gives a much more positive sense of everything. How does she evolve that subject? What does she say here? Well, it goes on and says that man, as the reflection of his maker, is how? And now you listen to the tone of life. He is not subject to birth, growth, maturity, decay. Yes, that's life. He's not subject. She doesn't say, but mortal man is subject to birth, growth, maturity, and decay. She says, he is not. Man is not under that law. He must not first die in order to resurrect himself. Again, tone of life. Death is to be overcome by spiritual life. How? And then comes that great statement, which is quite unique in the textbook. Life demonstrates life with a capital L. That's very seldom. She can naturally say both. She can say life demonstrates life with a small L, but she also can say life demonstrates life with a capital L, and the meaning is naturally different. When she shows here that life demonstrates life, then she shows that unity, that motherhood sends unity in life, which says life cannot demonstrate anything else but itself. It's not going to demonstrate something in the creation. It only demonstrates that with it which is one with itself, and that's capital life, capital L life. So life demonstrates life. And now you see the life from the motherhood of love. She says, life cannot be parted for a moment from man. Can you see? Not parted. The unity. Not for one moment. Life. Yeah? Isn't it beautiful? She just knows how to play all those various instruments, very exactly, very purely. And here comes up the great sense of that unity of God. She says, and that must be so, else, again you have a wonderful definition, else the father would be childless, comma, dash, no father. You see, she doesn't leave it at the point that she said, the father would be childless, and therefore say, he's a childless father. She said, well, a father without a child is no father. Yeah? We should see that. Huh? That God without us is no God. And if God is perfect, we have to be perfect. But he is nothing without us. Nothing at all, from the point of view of love. Do we really stand on that ground in our daily life? It's quite amazing how much we have read and perhaps not pondered enough and made it up one's own and up one's own attitude to think without us God can't exist if under us we understand God's own idea. God's own idea. Actually not the mortal man. So actually we can say our true manhood, our true being is only possible because God is. And with our true being, there is no God. Therefore, as God is perfect, our true being is always perfect. Therefore, we better give up the belief that something is not perfect and that something doesn't go according to God's plan. Man cannot be separated, love, cannot be separated for one moment from God. Not for one moment. Thus, science proves that man's existence is intact. Who believes that man's existence is intact? Science proves it. That means that scientific consciousness that is presented through these tones proves man's existence is intact. And we better accept it. Because now we don't accept it anymore as a statement or as a nice belief. We have now seen why. Because we have built up that whole story through love and mind, love as spirit, love as soul, love as principle, to arrive at love as life. We go on to the next subject of truth. I have captioned it like this. Undisturbed by mortal thought forms, the true forms of being continue to exist. Truth is always form. Truth always shows forth the true form, spiritual form, health. The true gestalt, where everything is there, what needs to be there. And so here we see under the marginal heading, thought forms, that he says, but the soul-created forms are distinct and real to spiritual sense. So if we have used spiritual sense and scientific sense up to this point, going through the motherhood of mind, spirit, soul, principle, and life, we really have that scientific sense within us that can see and test and touch spiritually, really, the true soul-created forms of being. That everything is at the point of perfect form. They are permanent. They are permanent. And though there is that jarring testimony of the material senses, which we also know, still they cannot change anything. No matter how loud error yells, it doesn't matter. That yelling doesn't change the facts of being. Not at all. Nothing can change them. Because the love is always at the point of manifestation. Therefore, she says, you see, if you go away from the physical senses to science, have you heard that? You notice perhaps during the whole day that very often suddenly she brings in what the senses say and then what science says. Yes? Perhaps you have not, but we will come back to that, because that's another melody that is in it. You know, I said that there is another melody running right through it, which gives us the scientific tools of understanding. And one of the scientific tools of understanding is that it says, don't let yourself be instructed by the testimony of the material senses. Let yourself be instructed by science. So that's another instrument. I don't know what it is. What shall we call it in our orchestra? It's the clarinet, perhaps, or something like that, that constantly comes in and says, you know, you can't understand that through your human mind. You need the divine mind understanding. You know, you can't understand that through your material tendency. The material sense doesn't do anything. You know, you can't understand it through the five physical senses and testimony of five physical senses. You need science, yeah? You need science. Huh? And so she goes on, always in between is that clarinet that plays its own melody again. And always comes in and says, well, here, love as truth says, you know, love is never without the manifestation of the true forms of being. And then comes that clarinet and says, yeah, you know, the physical senses, that is not true. That is a jarring testament of the physical senses. And the other one said, but take science, and you see it's true. Huh? Yeah? So it's another, you know, another instrument that naturally has to be considered in that whole thing. Here you have it very clearly that you're absolutely surprised that suddenly in that wonderful high tone of love's motherhood as truth, where you really expect now that everything is at the form of health, of absolute health manifest, that suddenly she would come in, the jarring testimony of the physical senses. Why? What have they to do now? And they naturally come in, quite naturally, because she knows the reader too well, that the reader says, when he reads this, that he says, that's easy to say so, but when I ask my body and my physical senses, they tell me the very opposite. She knows that. She knows that. Therefore, she has to help the reader and say, if there is a voice within you that contradicts it, don't listen to it. Stick to your science. Stick to your knowledge now. Science tells you they are very opposite of what your physical senses tell you. So science still enthroned, she said, unfolds in spite of that jarring testimony of the physical sense, enthrones the immutable, harmonious, divine principle, still unfolds life and the universe as ever present and eternal. Nothing is being changed by the senses. Nothing at all. Cannot touch it. And finally, she comes to love as love. Very short paragraph. So short that one can hardly recognize what she wants to say. Love as love, because it's such an altitude that it just gives the pinnacle to what? To the chapter Science of Creation. Saying, what is creation? What is man? Man is God's man. Therefore, nevermore, man is created spiritually. Man is not material and mortal. She just wants to bring out that very simple point, really, that man is, I must quickly look up here in the textbook. Oh, I'm on the wrong point. So, that she says, God's man, spiritually created, is not material and mortal. Very seldom says God's man. She usually speaks about the man of God, or man as the idea of God. When I speak about God's man, you know, that gives a much closer sense that man is God's, belongs to God, that it is God's own man, and not just man as the idea of God. Wouldn't you feel if you have that genitive that would say it's God's man? It belongs to God. It's not just defining that man is the idea of God. It's not just saying God and man, as if they were two. It's really God's man. And you get that terrific sense of motherhood in it that says, it's the creation is me. The creation is actually me, principle, God. There is not a creator and creation. There is creation is me, God's man. And that's spiritual and not material. And so she concludes that first part on that high tone. So again, if we would like to run through it, and we would be able actually to say now, without even looking at any of the epitomes or summaries, if we know that she's going to present what? She's going to present God's motherhood, love's motherhood, at the point of seeing that God is never without its manifestation, then we can say, all right, instead of saying God's motherhood, I can say mind's motherhood. Therefore saying mind alone propagates its own idea. Spirit's motherhood, spirit alone brings forth and evolves man. Therefore it's not separate from God. Soul's motherhood says that God is never without its manifestation and object. There is never a possibility of man being separate from God. The motherhood of principle says, I can't help but bringing out only principle's harmony. I can't help it. There is no other way to do it. And man cannot bring about harmony out of himself. He has to let himself be harmonized by principle. Or with life, we begin to see that the motherhood of life says life always demonstrates itself as life, demonstrates its own life. And as truth, it says that the motherhood of truth says, all right, love as truth is always showing forth the true form in everything. It can't help but bring about the true forms and show itself forth as the true form, no matter what the jarring testimony of the physical senses tell us. And so love's motherhood says, man is me, man is me. Love's God's man, it's my man, it's nobody's man, it's my man. And that's good enough for us. Yes. So here we have the first part, and we have seen how wonderfully this is laid out. And so tomorrow I will summarize the main points, not of the 49 points, but the whole grid, the whole system of that first part, and then show you the other melodies that come in a little bit, and then we will go on to the second part. So tomorrow.